Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you, our program is dedicated to the seeking of truth when facing the issues, and we do so through the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, as we seek to find answers, as we seek to find truth, as we seek to determine what is truth, we seek God's wisdom, and we find God's wisdom through God's word. May I remind us, as we face the issues each day, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. I call it having a central biblicist worldview. That is recognizing that with every issue, problem, difficulty, strife, or issue in life, God's Word is already pre-written for us the roadmap for the answer and the resolution. God's done that through His Word. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, we welcome you aboard. Delighted to have you each day as we face a different issue that I believe intersects with the life of every believer. I am a proponent of the fact that we should know the truth, and the truth is found in the Word of God. And as we apply this truth searchlight from the Scripture in each of these issues, it should give us insight and direction for living. Today we're going to be talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the crackdown on Christians, or Christian persecution, if you prefer the term. The crackdown on Christians. Before we get into the monologue, let me remind you that we have a new telephone number for call-in. The call-in telephone number for the studio is 831. That is 831-0917. 831-0917. That telephone number gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the dialogue and discussion together. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, and perhaps you're fully aware of some of the Christian persecution and the crackdown on Christians and Christian standards and the churches that's happening in the world today, and we'll talk about those a little later. But perhaps you're familiar with the ones that are recorded in the Scripture. The Bible's full of evidence of what has taken place and shall continue to take place. Our first record of Christian and church persecution is found in Acts chapter 7. The man's name was Stephen. Stephen was stoned to death. He simply was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. In fact, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 58, the Scripture says, "And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." Perhaps you recognize that name. Saul of Tarsus, that ultimately became the Apostle Paul in the Scripture, but prior to his conversion to Jesus Christ, he was a church persecutor. He was a Christian hater. He was going about doing what he thought God wanted him to do, and he was doing that by persecuting Christians, burning churches. He brought false charges against the Christians and had them put to death. In fact, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, the Scripture says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," speaking of Stephen, "and at the time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout all the region of Judea and Samaria." May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it started back in the first century church. And yet, may I just tuck this little thought in? It is my most humble opinion that if you're listening to this broadcast today, you're comfortable in your church, and somehow, some way, you're isolated and insulated to what is happening in America and around the globe in Christian persecution, the persecution of the church. And that is taking place even as I speak. In fact, scripture going back to Saul in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And he went unto the high priest to get warrants, if you will. He was on the road to Damascus. He got the warrants and the authorization from the high priest to destroy the churches and Christians. In fact, later when Saul was converted in his conversion to Jesus Christ, he gave his personal testimony. And in that personal testimony, he talked about what he had done and how he had done it in the persecution of the church and the putting the Christians to death. In fact, in Acts chapter 26, verse 9 and following, Paul said this, I verily thought with myself, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I persecuted them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and the commission from the chief priest, and then he talks about at midday what had happened. He tells Agrippa, as he's standing before King Agrippa, he's telling him what his life was like before he was converted, what his life became after he said yes to Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want to make with the biblical reference and the biblical foundation of it is that Saul of Tarsus was the first Christian persecutor found in the scripture. He was persecuting the Christians, destroying the churches, blaspheming the name of Christ, and having the Christians put to death simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus warns us in the Bible that the world will hate us. In fact, in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. And as a result of that, he says in John chapter 15 and verse 18, he says almost the same thing in relationship to that. In 15:18, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're talking about today the issue of the crackdown on the Christians, Christian persecution. Perhaps you're saying, well, preacher, that is on foreign soil, that is not taking place in America, and somehow, some way, I need not be concerned about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand we'll talk about that with actual illustrations in just a moment. But may I remind us, it may be that there's a fear from the average believer that this is going to happen. Maybe that there's some that say that's fear-mongering and it's not going to happen. The average believer today simply does not recognize or realize that the Christian persecution and hatred will intensify in these last days. In fact, in the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about in the last days perilous times will come. And in verse 3, it says, despisers of those that are good. And that's what we're seeing intensifying in the world today. And we're finding it in America, but in a little different level than you're finding in other parts of the world. But ladies and gentlemen, the social justice churches, the feel-good churches, do not see, do not understand, do not recognize what is taking place in relationship to this persecution. It is the persecution and the prosecution of Christians that's real and harsh, and it's in the world today. And it's because we're living in the last days. In fact, ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, says this. This is an article just received. He says, in just 3 days, we're filing at the UN to demand an end to the violent persecution of Christians in the Middle East. Iranian authorities brutally beat a Christian pastor named Yosef in front of his children and exiled him to a notorious prison for his faith in Jesus Christ. In Iraq, the jihadists waged a bloody genocide, murdering Christians, burning victims alive, and committing other barbaric acts, including kidnapping, enslavement, and the destruction of their churches and their religious sites and buildings. Ladies and gentlemen, that's happening around the world, and some have the philosophy somehow that it doesn't affect me, so I'm not going to be bothered with it. may I remind us, in America, the socialist Democrats are pushing a bill that will be a grave danger for all Christians. The bill, if it becomes law, will persecute and prosecute believers simply because of our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's an article. Matt Staver says this: the passage of the Equality Act would make liars out of a lot of us. It would put the nonprofit status of religious charities at risk. It would force mom-and-pop businesses to participate in same-sex marriage ceremonies, and it would flout bedrock principles that have served as the foundation of the American experience for centuries. He goes further to say, as I have warned in prior messages, the wrongly named Equality Act is the most extreme threat to religious freedom, free speech, privacy, and to women's rights that has ever been proposed in the U.S. Congress. Shockingly, the Equality Act expressly states that the rights to religious exercise, free exercise under federal law, may not be used as a claim or as a defense in any incident or case. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing is, through the socialist Democrats in Washington, an attempt with one fell swoop to pass legislation that will be so filled with ambiguous terms that it will make the church, put the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and every Christian in harm's way for persecution and prosecution. Ladies and gentlemen, that's taking place. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching a global push to destroy the church and Christians. China is now the open leader in the persecution and prosecution of Christians. Yet in America, we seem to feel safe. We seem somehow to be like the frog you put in the water and you start turning the heat up. The frog doesn't recognize as the heat increases that he's literally being boiled to death. May I use that as a crude but yet very real illustration of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America today? We see the church, the Christians, and the churches being persecuted in an attempt to silence Christians through the social media, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and a host of other of the media social outlets. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that is frightening to me, and I don't know how it will affect you in your thinking. Title of the article says, China cracks down on Christianity by demolishing churches and confiscating Bibles. Perhaps you've not heard that. You've not heard it on national news. It's not even been on Fox News. It's not been on any other news outlet. It's not been in the newspapers. But may I remind us, it's real. Let me just read you two or three brief paragraphs from this article. The ruling party in China is attempting to increase their control over religious freedom in the country, most recently by cracking down on Christianity. In the country's province, which has one of the largest Christian population in China, Christian churches are raided and demolished. Bibles and holy books are confiscated, and new laws were established to monitor all religious activities. One Christian named Guo described an incident in which Chinese officials interrupted a service meeting that he was in, and everyone had to leave. They then ordered the church leaders to remove the cross, to remove the Bible verses that were painted on the wall, to remove the Last Supper that's displayed on the wall. He said he didn't give his full name out of fear of government persecution. Quote, I've always prayed for our country's leaders, for our country to get together and be stronger, he told the AP News. They were never this severe before, not since I started going to church in the mid-80s. Why are they telling us to stop now? The intensity of the government crackdown, which increased in recent months, just this year, they've shut down hundreds of Christian houses of worship, seized Bibles, forced the e-commerce retailers to stop selling Bibles, prevented children from attending churches in some areas, urged Christians in one location to replace posters of Jesus with pictures of the president of China, and the raided church meetings and interrupted hundreds and hundreds of Christians from one congregation. To avoid becoming targets in the government campaign, many congregations are meeting in smaller groups and in person and online. This is a quote. Shut down one today, Enoch said. It's the name of an individual speaking who converted to Christianity 3 years ago. At the state church, that's the church approved by China, and it is false, phony, fake, and absolutely nothing with the gospel being said. If I felt like listening to the lecture, but at the family church, people knew each other and loved each other, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please. They gave up on us, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Christian persecution. Crackdown on Christians and the persecution of Christians. And I just read you an article, a portion of an article, about China cracking down on Christianity by demolishing churches. They started, ladies and gentlemen, about 3, 4, or 5 years ago by the high-profile crosses on the spires and the steeples in some of the major cities. They didn't want them seen in the skyline. So they forced the churches to remove the crosses that were high-profile, that were visible in the skyline. And now, not too long ago, as you might have heard on one of our broadcasts, where the Pope has been working with some of the Chinese communist leaders in China to rewrite the Bible, to inculcate in the new version of the Bible in China, Chinese custom and Buddhism and Communist Party leadership positions. That's now being done in the nation of China, ladies and gentlemen. Here's one that says, Chinese official vows to eliminate Christianity in China. The Chinese official says the company is vowing to eliminate Christianity in China, according to the Christian Post. The National Committee on the Three Self-Patriot Movements of the Protestant Church in China says there are problems with Christianity in the country, calling the religion an infiltration into China. That's what they're calling Christianity now. He said he is worried that Christianity is a Western influence that isn't best for the country of China. Furthermore, this article says, for individual black sheep who under the banner of Christianity participate in subverting national security, we firmly support the country to bring them to justice, one spokesman for the state said. China already has a campaign that works to bring religions under the country's official atheistic party control. Part of that campaign includes trying to make the country's religion more Chinese and even rewriting the New Testament with Buddhism and Buddhist and Confucianism teaching. The government must approve any Christian church in China, and religious activities are strictly monitored, strictly regulated. Christians who do not adhere to the laws are sometimes arrested and are banished. Ladies and gentlemen, you might say, well, China's a long way from America. But I want us to understand that just as I used the illustration a moment ago about the frog in the water, and you turn the burner up and it gets hotter and hotter until ultimately he is scorched to death, he is boiled to death. That's what we're watching around the nation, and it's coming to a great crescendo. And ladies and gentlemen, with the new bill that's been introduced in the House, with the Democrats in the House under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi, it will in fact bring that chilling effect on all of America and all of Christianity and worship in the houses of worship in the United States of America. I believe we have a caller on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
I can barely hear you, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a little worse. I apologize. Yeah, I agree with you on modern persecution, but did you know the early persecution, it was a Jewish civil war. They saw was going after his own fellow Jewish believers, followers of the way, this sect of Nazarenes. And he got letters from the high priest, and he only had the authority to go after Jewish believers, or I would say Gentile proselytes that converted. And so the original persecution was Jew against Jew, believing Jew against non-believing. And I believe in the latter days that'll come to pass, and it's coming to pass that way as well. And the Gentiles, the Christians, the term Christian meant the Gentiles initially. Some think it was a derogatory name initially, others didn't.
Yes.
But it was applied to the Gentile believers. So the persecution initially was 100% Jewish, Jew against Jew. And I believe in the latter times that's the way the scenario will play out again. I'll hold on and listen to your comments, Dr. Byung-Glun.
Good insight, good comments. Thank you for that comment. But you're exactly right. In fact, the overwhelming majority of the Christians of the early church were converted from Judaism to Christianity. You're exactly right. And also those of the Gentile world that believed and received Christ as Savior. But you're right. It was Saul of Tarsus was a Jew. And as a Jew, he was persecuting those that had converted from Judaism to Christianity. And that was the first persecution. A good insight on that we're seeing that persecution and the prosecution in the sense of that persecution of Judaism in America today. And it's happening around the world. And yet we're talking about crackdown on Christianity, and that is very real because it is taking place in the persecution. And that persecution is going globally. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of everybody looking at it, this is happening in North Korea, this is happening in all of the Islamic nations, this is taking place someplace that's far distant from America. Somehow we feel isolated and insulated that it's not going to happen in America. But it's happening so subtly, but ever so real in the United States of America. Christian persecution is taking place today in North Korea, China, India, all over Africa, every Islamic country, and even in Europe, where Islam is dominating and the Christian church is being persecuted and prosecuted as a result of anything that's called getting the gospel message out. Christians and Christian persecution in America is open, it is unapologetic, and it's very, very dangerous, and yet it is not viewed as taking place in America. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. Says the title of it is from Alliance Defending Freedom. It says attack on churches in America are increasing, and here's how we can help. And it goes on to talk about opponents of religious freedom love to use separation of church and state as a misguided battle cry to remove prayer from the public classrooms and historical religious landmarks and even block faithful Christians from public service. Ladies and gentlemen, it's talking about that which is taking place in America today. This article further says, meanwhile, real violations of separation of church and state are increasing across the country. We're seeing numerous incidents in which government is trying to control what churches teach, where they worship, or how they exercise their religious freedom. You see, in China and in North Korea, it is open hostility to the church. Remove the cross, ban anybody that's going to be preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They view it as some way as a threat to their communist nations. But in America, it's being done subtly by rules, regulations, laws, ordinances that are passed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, where it is subtle, but it's very real. This article says, just look at what's happening in Washington State. The government there just passed a law that forces churches in the state to fund abortion in the health care insurance plans with no exceptions granted. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. It says Vimeo, that's a social media plank or stand or outlet. Vimeo yanks church account for opposing homosexuality. The video hosting platform Vimeo canceled the account of a church that posted videos of Bible conferences that included teachings on homosexuality. Vimeo informed Fairview Baptist Church of Edmond, Oklahoma, that the videos violated the company's ban on posting content that promotes sexual orientation change efforts. Quote, we apologize for any inconvenience and wish you luck in finding another video hosting platform more suitable for your needs, end quote. Janet Medford, who hosts a program on America Family Radio, wrote via Twitter that all of the church sermons hosts on Vimeo were removed, along with videos of any church conferences or theological doctrinal teachings. That's happening, and yet we're not hearing the hue and cry from the Christians and the churches. I'm not hearing anything from preachers standing in the pulpit and talking about what's happening and challenging the Christians to stand up and be salt and light. I'm not hearing any preacher, for the most part, pastors to stand and say that we need to do something as Christians and not be in silence and go into a closet and sequester ourselves and simply say, well, Jesus is going to take care of it all. Yes, he is. We win in the end. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm fearful that based on the authority of the Word of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to face vehement persecution and prosecution before the church is raptured out in the rapture of the church. Here's an article that says, town demands faith groups to adhere to sexual orthodoxy. Quote, a judge ruled against a Wisconsin town's effort to impose its sexual orthodoxy on churches through a non-discrimination ordinance that declares all places of worship public accommodations and therefore must follow the law with the homosexuals and the homosexuality. Broward County Circuit Judge William Atkinson issued a verbal order in December concluding the ordinance passed by the City Council barring discrimination based on gender identity infringes on the religious freedom of the local churches. Quote, the viewpoint discrimination in the ordinance is straightforward, the judge said. Churches and religious entities may speak, advertise, and otherwise publish their religious beliefs, including exceptions of members, expectations of members, attendees, and employees, and use the facilities and services provided so long as those beliefs are in agreement with the city's sexual orthodoxy, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the persecution and the prosecution of the church in America today via the laws, the rules, the regulations, and the ordinances, and by judges' decree from the bench. Here's an article that further talks about the bill that's being passed now in the House. Democrats unleash a war on religious freedom. Democrat members of both chambers of Congress have introduced bills that threaten the free exercise of religion and free speech. The Senate Bill S-788 and House Bill H.R. 5, known as the Equality Act, broadly imposes the LGBTQ agenda and does not exempt churches, religious employees, organizations, or colleges. The Equality Act is not about equality. This bill eviscerates religious freedom, churches, and targets churches with the LGBT wrecking ball, according to the article. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about churches being discriminated against, Christians being the crackdown on Christians and the persecution of Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we must ask the question, what are we going to do? How do we stand? Here's an article that says, Vermont to Christian schools students, you're unwelcome. A new lawsuit has been filed against the chiefs of the Vermont Agency of Education and the Vermont State College System over a program that singles out students from religious schools and tells them they are unwelcome in a program that includes all other students. It is simply, as you go back to the days of the persecution of the Jews in Europe, where they had to wear a yellow star, we're living in the day where Christians, along with Jewish people in America, will again be designated by a yellow star, some type designation to say that you're unwanted, that you're unequal, that you're not welcome in America. So what are we going to do? Do we just stand up or do we speak up? Do we speak up or do we become and remain silent? Believers simply must not continue to bend and bow with the political correctness and the move in America to be silent in our churches. Perhaps this article, let me just close our broadcast today. I've got something that's elongated, but I believe that it sets the stage and lets you understand what we need to do as Christians and the stand that we ought to take. Here's an article that says, much of the church is controlled opposition. The Democrats have established their war, escalated their war against God, and the church sings louder. Hear that? The church sings louder. What do I mean by this? This is an article that I'm reading. Sings louder. A story is told about a German congregation that met together at a building that sat along a railroad track that led to the Nazi concentration camp. Here's the story told by one of those congregants from that church. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I want us to hear. If you've not heard, you're not listening, you've not paid attention of the previous part of this broadcast, listen carefully. This one writes, I lived in Germany during the Nazi Holocaust. I considered myself a Christian. I attended church since I was a small boy. We had heard the stories of what is happening to the Jews, but like most people today in this country, we tried to distance ourselves from the reality of what was really taking place. What could anyone do to stop it anyway? A railroad track ran behind our small church. Each Sunday morning, we would hear the whistle from a distance and then the crackling of the wheels moving over the track. We became disturbed when one Sunday we noticed cries and screams coming from the train as it passed by. We grimly realized that the train was carrying Jews. They were like cattle in those cars. Week after week, when the train whistle would blow, we would dread to hear the sound of those wheels because we knew that the Jews were and would hear them cry out as they would pass by the church. It was terribly disturbing for us. We would do nothing to help those poor, miserable people, yet their screams tormented us. We knew exactly at the time the whistle blew, and we decided the only way to keep them from disturbing us by their cries was to start singing our hymns. By the time the train was rumbling past the churchyard, we were singing at the top of our voices. If some of the screams reached our ears, we'd just sing a little louder until we could hear them no more. Years have passed, and no one talks about it much anymore, but I still hear the train whistle in my sleep. I still hear the cries for their help. God forbid all of us, as we call ourselves Christians, from simply doing nothing to intervene. What has happened to Christian America? I believe it was very well stated in The Great Evangelical Disaster, written by Francis Schaeffer in 1984. And he said, we've overcome by the assault of the moral relativism in public and private life, and we've compromised. And ladies and gentlemen, We've got to stop the compromise. We've got to cease and desist that of adopting the moral relativism that says that if the law says it's okay, it's okay. The sodomite lifestyle is not okay. Murder by way of abortion is not okay. Infanticide is not okay. Euthanasia is not okay. And we must take the stand, ladies and gentlemen. We must stand up, speak up, stop being silent, be salt and light in the society in which we're living in. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.